Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Welcome to Local Food Connections, a show about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. Local Food Connections is brought to you by Local Food Connect. We're broadcasting from Wurundjeri country and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We respect the enduring strength of First Nations people and acknowledge their long heritage of agriculture and care for the land on which we live. The show promotes sustainable food systems that foster community resilience and empower individuals to make positive choices for themselves, their communities and the environment. My name is Anne Stanley and my guest today is Marina Bistrin. I first became aware of Marina when we were both contributors to Guy Palmer's Local Food Connect website, but at that point I was only familiar with her name, not her face or what else she did. We were both writing articles about home gardeners back then. It was about 2018 in my case. Probably Marina started a little bit earlier than that. We were writing articles about home gardeners and urban food growers. Marina is a passionate gardener herself, and her interests span the many connections between growing, making, preserving and sharing food. Marina is also very interested in maximising soil health to in turn maximise nutrition, the nutrition of the vegetables that grow there, and possibly even the animals that are eating the vegetables, if we're eating the animals. She runs edible weed workshops, so we'll chat a fair bit today, I think, about edible weeds. Welcome, Marina. Nice to have you.
Hi, Anne.
So you've written so many different things on the Local Food Connect website and other places, I think, about no-dig gardening and composting, seed saving, fermentation, herbs, edible weeds, as we said before. Mm-hmm. Where did all that come from? Where did you get that interest in the soil and in gardening?
I sort of don't know. It wasn't from when I was very young. One of my grade two school teachers gave me some rose cuttings to try and grow. It didn't work, but at that time, I started trying to work out how to grow stuff in the clay backyard, like 2 foot wide, and the old measurements by about 6 foot wide garden bed that wouldn't grow anything.
Where was that, Marina?
That was in Fitzroy.
Okay.
Yeah, my parents had a music shop, a Yugoslav music shop, with lots of interesting Balkan, Gypsy, Russian.
Yeah.
Albanian, Turkish music.
What street was that in? Whereabouts was that?
Gertrude Street, Fitzroy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they emigrated from Yugoslavia post-war. So I've got mixed Russian and mixed different Yugoslav background, and my Russian granny came with me. Yeah. Oh, she tried to teach me how to make sauerkraut verbally, and that was a complete disaster. But in the last few years, I've learned how to do it properly. Like, you've got to know what you're doing.
Yeah, okay. In
case basically, just keep the air out.
Keep and it from having the right,
right salt. Yeah, get the right.
We might come back. We might come back to that. So yeah. you obviously didn't grow much in your tiny.
No, plane. I started renting places on my own once I'd left my ex, going to different places and. Each time I became more and more passionate about trying to get the soil right and grow something. So I've been here 20 years now in this rental, which I'm so grateful for. So it's been a huge experiment and it's still an experiment.
It always is, I think, isn't it?
Hmm?
It always is an experiment, I think.
Yeah. And I think you need to look at gardening that way. Because sometimes people come and say, I killed a plant, I'm terrible, I've got a brown thumb.
Not realising you're living with living organisms and they're going to die. sometimes.
Yeah, they are, and you've just got to work out what they want. Different plants need different things, and I would just say plant the same plant in different spots and see what takes, and not worry about it too much. Like we've usually got an abundance of seeds or an abundance of cuttings, and we can experiment.
Just with what you've got, yep.
Yeah, so I don't mind messy gardens because sometimes things grow in just in what you think is the wrong spot, and then you've got to make a decision: do you make a path around it, or or go with it? If I can, I tend to leave it because it's got the right spot and it's growing well. Also, I've had to make nutritious soil very quickly on this clay that we have in. I'm in McLeod. So I've been using some quick compost methods, but mostly slow compost where I use coffee grounds, coffee husks, which you get from the roastery, which are fantastic because they're lightweight and dry and you can store them for a long time and just add them to your compost as you go. And anything like the lawnmower guy who mows the nature strip across the road, sometimes I used to hassle him to bring it over to my place. All sorts of things like that. I was desperate.
Did you build just on top of the clay soil then, or
Yeah,
did you
I dig.
dig it up first?
No, I didn't. I rarely dig up unless I need to. I'll use that clay, whatever that is. I'll often dig it out, put compost in there, and use that clay somewhere else, like even going to compost bins. Because I
You'll
think
put the
clay,
clay into the compost bin and then allow it to sort of go into
clay
the
slurry.
mix. Ah, that's a
Yeah. So it
great
comes
idea.
out like dirt.
And so you're
You
breaking
just
that
dig
clay
it.
up. That's what you're doing, isn't it?
Sometimes I make it into a slurry and pour it in over all the coffee grounds and little broken up sticks so it doesn't get stinky. It's got air pockets and it's a slow compost and the worms just come in and out. It's a free range worm farm.
Have you got that
So,
totally contained in one of those black
yeah,
containers
I've
that
got
go?
those black plastic
Yes.
bins. And it's hard to keep the rats out. I don't always manage it, but quite often I do. So that was the slow compost method. Hang on.
Wow. Where did you say you got the coffee husks from?
Coffee husks from the coffee roasters. It's a byproduct of roasting coffee.
It's just a coffee business. The coffee roasters. Is that a particular cafe local to you? Is etc. Or are they bigger? Are they big?
I've got someone in Diamond Creek who drops off to me, Piccolo, something Cafe Piccolo, something like that. So he goes past my place on the way to pick up his coffee from Preston. So that's very convenient for him. So now I don't even have to go out and get it. It
And
gets dropped
how
off
did
to me.
you how did you arrange that with him? Did you just happen to say, "I'd see that
A
you've got"?
friend used to get coffee from Zenden in Eltham for me because I don't drive, so I sort of rely on other people to help me out. And then she found this place, and wow, what a connection!
Yeah, that's really good. And it's good for him too, because he's got to get rid of this stuff, right?
I do, yeah. And I've
So.
also been composting my weeds or trimming my
The
weeds.
non-edible ones or the edible ones too?
The edible ones, I don't eat that much of it, but I like to show people which weeds are edible and other cultures use some of the weeds that we think are not edible as well. And some of these edible weeds are also medicinal, like for instance, chickweed is great for your skin healing. So is plantago, and calendula. So those three will often go in an oil, a warm oil. I don't know what you call it, decoction or whatever. I
Oh,
don't get
it's got a
it.
name. It's got a name, isn't it?
Extractions.
Extraction, infusion.
Yeah, sure. And then that can be applied on your skin or made into a balm. So they're abundant. Like plantain, my mum found this plantain tea for her hiatus hernia. She used to get gastric reflux into her esophagus and Nothing the doctors gave her actually worked until she actually got an operation to get that sphincter tightened. So she would send me my dad out to me with a torch in the middle of the night to go into the nature strips and find plantago.
So just
And it
using the,
worked.
mainly just using the long, those long ribbed
Yeah, the
leaves.
long common ribwort, Plantago lanceolata, that's the one that's common here, but now I'm growing Plantago major as well,
On
which is a bigger
purpose.
leaf.
On purpose, you're growing it.
Yeah, to
Yeah.
show people what it's like.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I try to keep a few of these weeds and things growing in my garden so I can actually show people.
Yep.
I've usually got an abundance.
Yes, well, that's the thing about them. There's actually an article in the local Food Connections newsletter either this week or last week about plantain by a medicinal herbalist who's been on the show. So that's
Yeah, good.
yeah. So you can anyone now can just go and look at that Local Food Connect. You'll go to either this week's newsletter or last week's, and there's an article about how to use plantain.
Cool.
Okay, so how big is this garden?
Oh, God knows. I've got bits out front and a big big spot out back, maybe four, I mean 10 by 6 meters, something like that. Big
10 by
ish.
6 out the back. Yeah,
At the back. Yeah.
all cultivated.
Yep. It's not all growing if efficiently. A lot of it is weeds at the moment, so things take over. At the moment, I've had a mugwort invasion. I
Okay.
was trying to grow mugwort just to show people what it looked like, and it invaded about a quarter of the garden.
So you've had a lot of success with mugwort, is what you're saying.
Mugwort.
So tell us about
I've put cardboard down and I'm trying to start again over there.
what does mugwort look like?
It looks a bit like wormwood. It's got finely divided leaves, greenish, medium green on the top, and very pale underneath. So if you know the common wormwood, it's related to that. It's an Artemisia.
Is it got a strong smell? Has wormwood got a.
I don't know if it has a strong smell. I lost my sense of smell early in the COVID era, but I didn't get sick.
You
I
just lost
just
your
took
sense of
supplements
smell.
all through.
You just lost your sense of smell.
Yeah, I don't know if it
Wow.
was COVID. I don't know
Yeah,
what happened. Maybe
sure.
it's just a brain thing, like,
Yeah. And
So
so
I
what
don't
are.
know now because I've only become familiar with it more recently. And we harvested it on Merri Creek in a little island in the middle of Merri Creek in Clifton Hill, where the poison sprays don't get to. So
That's
it's
something
there.
important to people to realize, isn't it? Now, what do you use mugwort for?
I don't actually use it, but it's a well-known medicinal. Some people even say it's for like lucid dreaming. So, but it's related to the Artemisia, so it's probably got some analgesic effects, and maybe a worm anti-worm,
Yep.
anti-lymphatic effects
Yep.
probably. I think it's more complex than just simple Artemisia. But I mean, wormwood, the common wormwood that a lot of people are familiar with in gardens.
So mugwort, that's one to research, especially if it's got some mild psychotropic effects, which might be
Yeah,
attractive to
possibly. I
people.
was just reading, who was it? Dorothy Hall's herbal book, and she says it's good for people who are really don't sleep that well. They can wake up in an instant, and they think they haven't slept, but they've actually been sleeping.
They go in and out quickly.
So I don't know much about it, but what I'm trying to do is actually grow lots of different medicinal and edible herbs and weeds so people can recognize them, so this knowledge keeps going. So that's my legacy.
That's great. Yeah, that is great because it is ancient knowledge, isn't it? And so
Yeah,
you.
and a lot of these things you can have tonics when you need them. A lot of the things you can, if you find right dosages and prescriptions, you can actually treat yourself gently for different illnesses.
Because most drugs do come ultimately from the earth anyway, don't they?
They used to, but
Many
they
of them
can't
do.
patent them. So they're trying to patent other drugs that have similar effects, and virtually all of them have side effects. So, you know.
Hey Anne, where else would you hear about progressive economics?
Well, you can definitely hear about it on 3CR
Radio MMT between 5:30 and 6:30 p.m.
the second and fourth Friday of each month.
Radio MMT.
Got a big crop of tomatoes or plums in the garden this summer? Look after our precious wildlife and avoid using netting over your veggies and fruit trees. Nets can accidentally trap flying foxes, possums, and birds. Many of them don't survive their injuries. If you must use netting, make it safe for wildlife. For more information, go to wildlifevictoria.org.au or call 03 8400 7300 if you see wildlife trapped in netting. Wildlife Victoria is a 3CR supporter.
This is the Local Food Connection show on 3CR 855 kHz on your AM radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. You can visit the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show. You can visit 3CR Local Food Connections and listen to all of our past podcasts, including ones we've had with Adam Grubb and with Leila Alexandra about edible wheats. Today we're talking to Marina Bistrin about edible weeds, and we might as well ask you right now, Marina, when is your next edible weeds workshop?
Yeah, it's Sunday, 18th of October, from 10 till 12:30
yep,
in the morning, and you book through NERP. They've got a Facebook page, North East Region Permaculture.
North East Region Permaculture.
Yeah.
And they've got a Facebook page, Northeast Region Permaculture. And so that'll be Marina's workshops advertised on that.
Yeah, and
we'll
there'll
show you
probably
how to
be
book.
more.
And probably be more of them.
Yeah, I do a few during the year, especially when the weeds are abundant, because it's basically focusing on weeds. I don't ask for payment, but if you've got time to stay on and do maybe half an hour's work in the garden, that would be very helpful, because I do have to get rid of these weeds at some point.
Yes.
I keep a few.
Yeah.
But also you can harvest them. If you want to make your own chickweed or whatever salve, you can actually harvest them.
So if you come along and you really want to have a really big go at making things tinctures and things out of weeds, then you could come to Marina's garden, benefit from Marina's knowledge. Will you give them a cup of tea?
Yep. BYO, anything you need, but I usually have tea and bickies.
Tea and bickies, and then you can take home a bunch of the weeds to use. So that's fun. And it's the gift economy, right? It's not all about money.
Yeah, I'm part of Let's, which is a trading group which doesn't use money.
Tell us all about Let's. We might as well talk about that. That's an important...
There's a website called Community Exchange. I think it's .net. And that has a site where you can trade and look up things to trade with your local groups, and also you can go out into Australia and then out into the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
The things like overseas might be, you know, computer help or information, or the local ones you can actually do physical things or help or work on your garden, working bees. Sometimes we have handymen. There's a few handymen that are in great demand. You know, house cleaning, I'll get a person to do the phone calls I don't like to do to utilities.
Oh, what a great
sort
idea.
Sort out my bills.
Anybody over 50, I reckon, needs to get that.
Well, I've got a person who does that, and if I've got a complaint, she actually gets them to give me money back.
That is brilliant. And that's just on that's on Let's. You got that person on Let's.
Yeah.
So is it a sort of an exchange system where you – are obliged then or to offer something back to
No,
the group?
it's not like barter directly. You just bank your points that you earn. And you feel free to go in and take the points off the person you've worked for straight away instead of waiting for payment. And they get an email saying what was done. So they can see that if they want to argue about it, that's fine. But normally you should discuss the trade first.
I
So
see.
It's all clear.
All right. So if somebody's what sort of things do you then offer?
Well, I'm an admin, so every time I go online to work for them, I charge the group. Sometimes I go on working bees and help with garden weeding. I do a bit of hand mending, a bit of sock darning. Sometimes I show them how to make sauerkraut. I have to organise a little workshop. Or if you organise a social or you offer your house for a social, you earn points as well.
What an amazing experience. And do you get involved in food swaps as well?
I love the food swaps. I go to the Hurstbridge Repair Cafe, the Nullumbik Repair Cafe. The McLeod Community Garden started with me asking who wants to do a food swap.
Oh, did it?
In a local Facebook page. So that was just one action. And basically other people took it on.
Robin and
And
Paul,
from then
they
took it on, it got bigger and better. And then a group of people formed the McLeod Community Garden, which is really close to the McLeod train line, and it's a great teaching garden.
Mm-hmm.
So many different types of garden beds, water storage, pizza oven, and they've got lots of grants from our council. It's amazing.
It is amazing. If people are interested in that, they can go to any of our interviews with Robert and Paul Gail Baker, because at the moment they're the driving force behind it. There's so many stories we have on this show, Marina, of one small action that goes out into the world and then other people run with it and add value to it.
Yeah. Or just say something.
Even though it's not
so
even
saying
a,
something
a word.
Can become an action.
Right. So if all you've got to offer is an idea, offer it, because there might be someone there just looking for an idea.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Really love that. So you're talking about you want your garden to not just be weeds, although you value the weeds enough to offer workshops.
Yeah.
When the weeds all go, or most of them go, what do you ideally want to be having growing in your garden?
At the moment, I'm really keen on parsley because it's something I can share and it's very healthy, very valuable. If people just ate that, that would be like a major contribution to their health. There's a woman, I'd just like to mention her, the late, great Pat Colby, who wrote a book called Natural Farming, and she worked with animals in around Werribee, and a lot of them were going to be culled and killed, and she realised that a few minerals and seaweed would fix them up.
This is sick animals?
Sick animals, like herds of animals that were sick, they were brought to her and she tried to figure out what was wrong. And she worked out that you could give them different groups of mineral salts, and with all these salts she would add seaweed. And so they would often pick what they wanted and they'd get better. She also talked about parsley, like one goat, I think it was a goat with mastitis. And it wasn't even eating. She gave it a bucket of parsley, it ate it, and it was fine next day, like parsley. So common.
Mm-hmm.
So Australian soils have a different profile to European soils, where these European farm animals that we eat grew up on.
Yeah, that's food for thought, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah. So if that applies to animals, of course it applies to people. We can be short on minerals. Something quite simple might fix us, and we're not aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
So weeds are nutritious, but I don't throw them away. If I can't put them in the compost, I just drown them, and then I compost them, and then I actually put the liquid on my soil. I also grow a lot of silver beet. I love green beans. I'm going to grow fenugreek for its greens because that's a legume. It also helps fix your soil. With the nitrogen fixing
Yes, yeah.
capability. Broad beans, I love broad beans. You can eat the leaves of them too. It's almost like I don't really care. I'll grow something and the whole thing's an experiment. And if my soil's improving, I'm happy. I've always
Yes,
got
exactly.
something
That
to
you're
eat.
exactly the same as me. That's exactly what I do. And then I've had times when it's just been massive amounts of parsley. It's like I'm a parsley farm. And people might go, "Oh, why are you only growing parsley?" Well, that's just what grew. And I think during the pandemic, I was putting out huge bunches of it for the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I had so much that was basically all I had. But a green vegetable is a green vegetable.
Yeah, it'll have iron, it'll have vitamin C, vitamin A, and lots of minerals in it. It's not just something like a decoration on your plate.
No, that's right. Anything else you want to say that's important to you that we haven't covered that would be worth that our audience might be interested in?
People should value weeds and not look at them as something ugly to be rooted out. If you can learn the life cycle of weeds, that's really useful. Like sometimes I'll give people a useful weed or a weed that you want to know that you don't want in there, like petty spurge. I prefer it's not there, even though it'll burn your warts off. I might give a person a petty spurge plant to take home and watch it grow because it looks different.
Is this the one that looks like chickweed that
Yeah,
you don't
and
want to be
mostly
eating?
chickweed. So when you're trying to do your chickweed ointment and you get petty, you got to look for the petty spurge in there. Check
Right.
it out because you don't want to, something that's harmful.
Yeah.
And I'm
Yes.
still trying to work out how to show people how to recognize things, but they change through their life cycle. They look very different, like from the first two leaves that come out of most weeds. Look totally different to the plant. And then once it gets to seeding and flowering, it looks different again.
What do you know about oxalis? I mean, you can have a handful of that in
I
your
don't
food.
bother. I just pull it out again and again and again
So
and
do I.
again.
Just keep pulling it out, lying it down, pulling it out.
I drown it. Like if I get some of the bulbs, I drown it or squash them.
Is drowning enough to get rid of bulbs with things like
It'll
agapanthus?
die. Yep.
Yeah.
But you keep in there for months till you show it's
Yeah.
a soggy mess and it stinks. That's
So
why you
just.
have lids on these buckets.
Yep.
You try to make sure your neighbour's not having a backyard party when you put it on your garden.
So you'll put the stinky stuff on your garden?
I'll put the liquid on my garden and the gooey plant mess back in the compost and put a lid on it. Sometimes I put coffee grounds on top of it because that absorbs smells.
And just wait for nature to turn it into the good bacteria that don't smell.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're all useful.
Yes.
It's just that we don't like the smelly ones, plus the anaerobic ones can be dangerous. Like,
They
you
can
know,
allow the proliferation of dangerous bacteria,
I
bacteria
don't know
that's
if it
dangerous to
really
us.
matters so much, so long as you don't get it in a cut.
Yeah, or
So I
drink
don't
it or
know.
something. Yeah. But
Like
yeah, I've never
tetanus is
quite understood
anaerobic,
that.
yeah.
Yeah. See, I've often thought surely when you put it in the soil,
No.
it'll become integrated
Yeah,
into what's
it'll
already
become
there.
integrated very
Yeah.
quickly.
Yeah.
It's just the stink that most people don't like.
Yeah.
And I don't have to smell it because I can't smell
Yeah,
it
that's
much
curious.
anymore.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, that is all we've got time for.
Thank
Thank you so much for coming on.
it's nice talking to you.
You've been listening to Local Food Connections this morning on 3CR, and today I've been speaking with Marina Bistrin about mainly edible weeds. And Marina was really talking more about keeping that knowledge alive and passing that knowledge on to other people. You can join Marina for an edible weeds workshop on Sunday, the 18th of October, 11 a.m. to 12:30. And if you go to the Northeast Region Permaculture Facebook page, you can sign up for that, and then you'll find out the address and everything. If you're interested in exploring a little bit of the gift economy, you can exchange some time when you get there, even half an hour, and that will help Marina control the garden, and it will give you a gift of some weeds to take away that you can play with if you're interested in exploring what uses they might have. Until next week, love the land you're on, share your surplus and take care of each other. Remember, if you want to support independent media, you can become a 3CR subscriber. Just go to the 3CR website and it will show you the way. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more radical radio with Latin American update. Bye for now.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.